Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey on this Easter Wednesday. I've been saying it every day, but I'm going to say it again in case you're tuning in just for today. I want you to see what God is about. He's about setting us free. And the church celebrates all 8 days as Easter, and then we continue to celebrate until Pentecost. So it's 50 days of celebration. But the octave of Easter, the first 8 days, are particularly important. And so they're called Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. Today is Easter Wednesday. So celebrate, rejoice, open up your hearts, thank God for what He's done. Thank you for the faith He gives you. Ask Him to increase that faith. Thank Him that He died for you. Thank Him that He rose for you. Thank Him that He loves you so much. So much. God would have gone through His birth, His death, His resurrection if you were the only person on the face of the earth. That's how infinitely, eternally precious you are to God. Please open your heart to that truth. Please. Once sin is forgiven, it is no more. Open your heart to the truth. And if sin is deep on your soul, God loves you and would die for you and longs, did die for you, and longs for you to accept His gift of repentance and His gift of healing, His gift of restoration. Everybody can come to the Lord. Everybody. The first reading for today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. So this is in these days where they're just trying to grapple with what has happened. And I'm sure they're, like any of us could be, one moment you're crying and one moment you're giddy. You're overwhelmed, emotionally overwhelmed. And Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. What a painful existence, begging all day, every day. And he had to be carried there, so he really could not walk. And when this man saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John. They both looked because they realized that there was something much more than alms that they now enjoyed, that they now had. He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. And they said to him, "Look at us." Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." God had given him the gift of healing, and he exercised it. Once you really know who God is and you accept Him in your life, then He begins to show you the gifts He wants to give you. And when you begin to live out of the purpose for which you were created, there's nothing that will take that joy from you. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up. He stood, he walked around, and he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many years had he been crippled? How many years could he not walk? And suddenly, in a moment, his whole life is changed. He leaped up, he stood, he walked around, and he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. Now, what did they do with that amazement and astonishment? You know, you can be amazed by something, astonished even by something, and just say, well, I don't know how it happened. And you can recount the experience, but it has no personal value or worth. It's just something that happened to somebody else. It's a great story to tell. But when God does something for us that's truly great, we need not only to acknowledge it, but we need to decide if that means a change in my life, my lifestyle, my priorities, the way I'm using my money. If Jesus Christ is real, if the works of God are real, I may need to have a different set of standards and values for my life than I have. Oh, I'm not a bad person. I do this, I give money to this, I give money to that. Yes. But how corrupted are you, actually, by the way in which you embrace some of the standards and some of the values of the world? It darkens the intellect. Sin darkens the intellect. Sin weakens the will. Many of you can say that with me. You've heard it enough times. But it really does. And we can no longer see what is really good, what is truly right, what is truly glorious, because our minds are darkened and our wills are weakened. So when God does something for you that's beautiful, not only thank him, but say, Lord, is there anything you want me to change? You have been so generous with me, so good to me. Is there anything you want me to do differently from this point on? Show me and I will follow you. That's the way God informs his disciples. Psalm 105, rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. That's what God wants us to be, a people who are joyful, happy people, not happy in terms of frivolous things of life that come and go, but happy because I know who I am and I know to whom I belong and I know where I'm going. That's the joy and the confidence that God wants to give us. And today we have the reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, one of my most favorite Gospels in all of Scripture. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Their eyes are dimmed by sorrow, by disillusionment. We thought he was the one, as we'll read here. They're disillusioned, they're downcast, they're depressed. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? What a question. And they stopped looking downcast, and then one of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days? Now, here, these were followers of Jesus. Again, they don't recognize him. Same thing. It's impossible that this could be Jesus, so therefore, it's not Jesus. Something happens in our minds when a situation seems impossible. As I spoke about the other day, when veterans from war are returning and they make surprise visits to their family when their family wasn't expecting them, and there's that moment of shock and you can't quite get it together. Well, that was very much the same in these situations, too. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days? And he replied to them, what sort of things? He's drawing them out. And they said to him, the things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We were hoping. See, hope is gone. And it's now the third day since it took place, so there's no hope. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they indeed had seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and so enter into his glory? He had told them that again and again, and yet they couldn't put the pieces together. And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. Stay with us. They liked what he was saying. Their eyes were beginning to be opened. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened. They were intrigued by him, by his words. They were drawing near to him, but they still weren't putting two and two together until he broke the bread of the Eucharist. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And so they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? See, that's what had gotten them first, was the power of the word. Brothers and sisters, read the scriptures daily. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised. He's appeared to Simon. And then those two, the ones who were on the road to Emmaus, then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let this gospel be a lesson to you on many levels, but most particularly, the power of God's word and the Eucharist. You have access to both. With a little sacrifice, you have access to daily Mass. Many of you, not all of you, some of you are confined to home, some of you, your job simply doesn't allow it. But then that should make the Sunday liturgy all the more precious to you. Preparation for it, celebration of it, reception of all the graces that God has for you. The Catholic Catechism speaks of the two tables, that we feed on two tables, the table of the Word and the table of his body. I really urge you, each of you, to make a decision during this Easter week how you can more fully participate in both tables, the table of the Word and the table of his body. Brothers and sisters, this is what increases our faith. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.